Today, we're talking about the ultimate sacrifice in Dragon Ball Z. Dada Doya.
Nanogenics.
Dude, okay. What an absolute banger of an episode with the, maybe the worst episode title combo I've ever seen.
You're a big hater on Nimbus Speed, huh? Not a big fan? Didn't think that Nimbus was the central figure for the story to revolve around?
You know, I think Nimbus might have had the least screen time he's had in any time he's ever been around in this episode, even though he's the title card.
You don't think that maybe his central themes might play into the overall story of the episode maybe a little bit more than maybe some other characters?
Maybe you bring up a good point, Dotto, but also maybe you're very wrong. You know what I mean?
I guess it could be either or, Nano. Welcome to Key Moments. Thanks for watching. We're a podcast and we talk about Dragon Ball Z sometimes, and that's the rewatch series that we're doing right now.
Yeah, we are doing a rewatch of Dragon Ball Z on our current buildup, technically, to Daima. And we talk other things here as well. And if you want to support the podcast, go the extra mile besides just watching, which we appreciate you leaving a rating on podcast services to all Dotto's audio listeners out there, especially last week when it was pure audio from Mr. Dotto.
Okay, bro. Okay. I forget to click record on one video one time. And now that's like a big deal. How about we bring up the incident from perhaps even 4 weeks ago where you published key members bonus content live on YouTube?
That was that. You listen, bro. It's just a bit of an oopsie. Okay. It was a small oopsie. Only people in the moment remembered it, but now forever, the episode, I believe it's what, 23, 24 of the podcast, will forever not have the Dotto Doya face cam. So, like, that's something
That is true.
We have to live with and will be a part of the legacy of Key Moments. But I was going to say, if you are an audio listener and you want to support us even further, you can go to patreon.com/keymoments and become a key member, and you get access to bonus podcast episodes that haven't made it to the public yet. You'll get access to what? Our reactions, Dotto Doya. We put out reactions for all of these episodes.
No reactions? And bonus content?
Of course, other awesome bonus content. Now, Dotto.
Nano.
Here's the thing. You did bring up in last week's podcast episode a bit of a topic that you wanted to start this one with. I gotta know, what is it? What is the segment called? What'd you call this segment?
Recently, while we've been on our one episode, you know, little thing to get our kick, you know, just to start some discussion, get us into the podcast mood, and get you, the listener, maybe more into a little Dragon Ball theme, or maybe it's a current theme going on. This one is Dragon Ball themed. We do call this the, I made up a name last time. The branding needed some work. We're going to call this one the Dragon Ballers preview event battle hour preview. All right, here we go. So our Dragon Ball topic of the day, Nano, is I kind of wanted to pick your brain more specifically. And honestly, maybe now that you said you made it a video, but I wanted to pick your gacha brain. What are some characters that you think just sell extremely well, either just and based off your video views? What character comes out where you're like, oh, I'm finna eat this month off gacha views?
Yeah, so the very obvious and easy one, which I think is probably across the board, and I would love to pick your brain on this in a reverse way, because based off of watching some of your views, it seems like it doesn't matter as much when it's not in the gotchification of things. However, fusions, man. Fusions are almost untouchable. Now, I will say there are some flavors here and there, right? So when Ultra UI. When Ultra Instinct was first a thing, I do think that he had peak popularity. Goku with that white, silvery hair was peak. Like, I don't think a fusion at that time, which at the time of Ultra UI, we didn't have Gogeta Blue yet, right? We just had VB and then Super Gogeta and Super Vegito. And then, of course, Kefla and Gotenks. But, like, they're not... Kefla and Gotenks are not on the same level, like, at all with Gogeta and Vegito. Like, they don't even come close. So I'm talking exclusively... the Goku fusion, so Gogeta, Vegito. But I do think at that time, when Ultra Instinct was completely new, he had peak popularity. However, he's fallen off a little bit from my experience. Again, we're bringing this up because in the last podcast, I didn't mention it. I think, like, in a weird, kind of weird way, I have a bit of R&D because on my main channel, I cover all things Dragon Ball, but of course, most of the day-to-day is covering the mobile games because there's where we're getting new content,
a lot of
right?
Updates, yeah.
They get updates all the time. And so I do have a bit of, like, my own little research and data over the different characters and their level of hype. And I would say in current February 2024, the three characters that probably carry the most weight right now, and we can go from there, but the three characters are going to be Beast Gohan, Vegito Blue, and Gogeta Blue. And I actually think in order, it would probably be Beast Gohan, because I think he just has been seen so little that he still carries so much hype. He's the newest peak of the series, I would say. And then from him would go Gogeta Blue, because I know there's a lot of Vegito stands out there, but I think Gogeta Blue has the upper hand in terms of at least popularity on my channel. You know, it just is what it is. And then it would be Vegito Blue. So those are the three, I would say, biggest view pooling. And when you get to more general, I think a lot of you guys listening to this podcast are probably a deeper cut into the fandom.
Yeah, there's some people that are like, obviously for this deep cut, if you're here more often, I think maybe you'd agree with this, that they're just, whatever's new is like going to interest them. It's like they have their deep cut favorites. Like, who do you think a good deep cut is? Like something that you'll see a lot of fans maybe talk about, get excited about, but then the views wise, it just isn't quite there.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you.
Honest.
I think a big one, and this is absurd because I do think he's really important, and I do think is Piccolo, actually.
Wow. Piccolo, just not a big viewer.
Piccolo does not pull views. Like OP does, but again, that's like, I think that's different because he besides Beast Gohan is the newest animated form. Again, when we're talking about this, a lot of it is not referencing to manga because as of the current state, hopefully this changes at some point. Hopefully just the anime comes back and this doesn't even have to be a conversation, but it's very clear that the games, it's a complete no-go, complete, they're not in the territory of being able to use this, is anything that's manga only.
Yeah.
So Ultra Ego, any of that stuff that you've only ever seen in the manga cannot be used currently that we've seen in any of the games. No game, period, has touched any of the manga only stuff. So right now the peak of current animated stuff are Orange and Gohan. But I do think Piccolo is one of those characters that obviously everyone knows. I think Piccolo is a very recognizable character, but there's something about him that when he is, in fact, I can look from last year and we got into Piccolo last year on Dokkan. He's one of my lowest viewed videos from the entirety of the year.
Really?
Yeah. Like he did views on par with about like Turles and Kale.
Damn.
I'm sorry, but those are like Turles and Kale. Like I know they're Saiyans, but like they're not, like you would think Saiyan Cell, but not so much, right? Like Turles and Kale are kind of like a little bit up in the air.
I did pull up my Dragon Ball FighterZ tier list that I made by who I thought.
Can you link that to me? I've got to see this.
I will, but I want to like play it by ear. I will say Piccolo did come in middling, a little lower on the middle end.
Okay. So that's
it. Does kind of carry over? Yes.
Okay.
There is some fighting game differential. Another big one is I do want to let you know that there is only one S plus character. Can you guess who that S plus characters in FighterZ might have been?
Okay. So it's got to be a FighterZ character. So my guess is that it's either Gogeta Blue, SSJ4 Gogeta, or UI Goku.
This list was made before Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta, actually. And the only S plus character, I probably put him Super Saiyan 4 in here as well, was Gogeta Blue. You were right on the money. Okay. Fusions Gogeta Blue was huge. I think that was the only thing you listed. So I'm just going to drop this list. I'll go through it just because I think it's kind of interesting looking back, because it does, I think, reflect pretty closely to what you were saying. The only catch being, I'm not sure how this works in gacha game terms, but so big ones here are Jiren was very surprising. Now that could be biased because I had a lot of fun playing Jiren, so maybe those videos were just overall better.
I mean, a lot of your quotes are that people quote from you are literally from your Jiren videos.
So
right?
That one could be biased, but I was always shocked at just how many views Jiren pulled in. So he was first in S. Then we have Ultra Instinct Goku. I don't think that shocks anybody. DBS Broly, not too super shocking considering I think just as a character, Broly's pretty good.
He was
he do in gacha games?
He was someone I was just about to bring up because Broly does do pretty friggin' well on the gacha scene. It's very hit and miss though, right? And there's obviously also a pretty massive distinction between Z and Super. In my experience, Super does substantially better than Z. Z yeah. does still do better. Like obviously Z Broly, like let's bring up Kellen and Turles again, which I don't think Kellen Turles, neither one are in Fighters, but you know, a Z Broly is obviously going to do substantially better views than a Kel and a Turles, but Super Broly, again, this is fairly recent because Dragon Ball Z Dokkan Battle is currently just released a Dragon Ball Super Broly and an actual Super Saiyan one. It is doing very well, but the views could be a little skewed because guess who's with him, Dotto?
Who's that?
Gogeta Blue. So
yeah, that brings in views. And then my last one, and again, we're kind of doing this just to see like who could be like popular characters for the franchise to like focus in on, stuff like this. It's just kind of interesting, honestly, like who do people, like more people in a general pool respond to. The final character in S for Fighters, just to explain this, is Base Goku. The reason that is, though, is not necessarily because of the character, but it is because of Spirit Bomb.
I was
Spirit
just Bomb about to say, is it Spirit Bomb? Because he's the one with Spirit Bomb.
Spirit Bomb thumbnails always go crazy when Fighters, and because they come with Base Goku, I mean, if you pull up my most popular videos on Fighters, you're going to see Base Goku there a lot. A lot of Base Goku. And then, of course, that's followed up by the top of A, which is Vegito Blue.
This is so interesting. Your data from Fighters is supporting my data as well, because you have Gogeta Blue two tiers above. Because, again, you're doing this just based off of what you can tell in terms of viewership, right?
It's yes. Just like feeling it out. It's not like exact science, but yes, like... like, if I pick Gogeta Blue, I'm like, whoo, this is going to be an easy day. If I pick Vegito Blue, I'm like, this is going to be a pretty easy day. Like, that kind of reaction. That's the difference between them.
So, I want to bring one thing up here, because, again, Fighters has such a limited roster. And especially once you start talking about the gacha games, right? Like, you can talk about BT3 and its vast character selection. But now that we're in an era where we have these gacha mobile games, no game is ever beating Dokkan and Legends. Which, granted... a character, and I'm not sure, this is no, just in case any of that team listens to these podcasts, this is no shade thrown to either of you guys, but I do want to say, obviously, to me, as a just general consumer of these games, there is so much more that is going into developing a character for Dragon Ball Fighters than there ever will be for Legends and Dokkan. I feel like I can say that pretty confidently.
Yeah, it's just a lot of...
like, I think there's just so much more that goes into this, but what I want to add is I think there's a character here that would be possibly an S plus or at least top of your S that I've seen, and this might be something you can relate to now with Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta, but I'll be damned if people do not love Super Saiyan 4 as a form. That form does views. Super Saiyan 4 Goku, I think if he was in the base roster and wasn't do you call that an install? What do you call that when GT Goku does that? Is that just... is
well,
that
an install would be more like you could play around with him more.
Frieza. But... okay, so he's just his level 3.
It's just his level, like an animation.
But if SSJ4 Goku was an actual character usable in the game, he would probably be in your S or S plus. I don't know what
I think he might be in my S or at the very least top of A, because when I do, there's two ways to do a GT Goku thumbnail, Nano. I'm not going to lie to you. It's either him with the Spirit Bomb or just using his Super Saiyan 4 model. I'm not going to lie to you. You were on the money with that one there. Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta would probably be an S plus with Gogeta. I'm not going to lie. And then I guess the last thing I wanted to cover on this list was I asked you who you think are some characters that don't do views. On my list, one that has always been very surprising to me, I'm not sure, I want to ask your opinion on him in the gacha, but so in my detail, I'll just go through them quickly because most of them are not surprising. Yamcha, Videl, Majin Buu, Nappa, Krillin, not really too surprising there. But then this guy has always let me down because I always believed he was going to do more.
Yep.
But Super Saiyan 3 Gotenks just doesn't get people excited. I've always wondered why.
I kind of touched on it there for a minute, and that's why I like made a clarification. And when I see people ask for him at massive celebrations, I have to imagine most of you guys are at least a little familiar with how these gacha things work. They've been around for so long now. Dokkan celebrating 9 years. But when people ask for Gotenks, I'm like, no, please no. Right? Like, because...
bro's YouTuber build.
Dude, I mean, I am. And the thing is that, like, you cannot take what people are saying on, like, Twitter and these other social media platforms or even in the comment section on the YouTube videos... too seriously, because the proof is in the pudding, if you will. Anytime Gotenks has been a character on one of these games, he does awful. So I don't know if it's just that he has like a very like vocal small fan base, and so that's why because the thing is, what's crazy is I see him brought up a lot in a lot of discussions for what people wanting characters in these games, but then when he comes out, he doesn't do good views ever. So when you pulled it, that was the I was like, even if you didn't bring this up, I was gonna bring it up. Because yes, when people want to act like Gotenks is like some special fusion, I'm like, where are you guys then when the videos come out? Because
now
he does awful viewership.
I gotta say, this is the last thing I want to touch on, because I do want to defend Gotenks here. I like Gotenks, but I wonder if maybe he just needs, like, the character needs another chance. Like, teen Gotenks, I think, might be able to save this character in the long run of Dragon Ball. I think a teen Gotenks with, like, have you ever seen that fan animation of, like, the Goten and Trunks?
No.
Like, doing a... It's actually a really cool animation, I'm not gonna lie. I can't remember the name of it right now.
Oh,
so kind
I know
of
what you're talking about. I've seen screenshots of it. They like are attacking some alien looking creature, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They hit him with like a, I forget what they call it, but it was like something like Galactic Donut, but it was like Galactic Guillotine or something. It was sick. Okay. But I think a teenage Gotenks, I think people are just ready for that. I think maybe kid Gotenks is like, you know, his moves are maybe a little too playful or something, like the volleyball donut or, you know, Galactic Donut. I think he's still cool. I liked him in the show when I watched it. I thought he was a cool announcement when Fighters came out, but yeah, just never seems to get people excited seeing Gotenks on a thumbnail.
I think it's so interesting looking at your list. There's a lot of things on here that really do actually match up to what I would say. I
think it's a fun kind of list to make. Like, who do you think are the popular characters?
I think two standouts here that I did want to bring up, actually three, because I just want to confirm that your placement of Piccolo in like very low B is pretty close to what I just basically said as well, right? Like, he seems to be a fan favorite, but does not do numbers.
It just like you really have to dress it up. It's just not going to do numbers naturally. Like, it would have to be something cool for Piccolo to, like, Orange Piccolo. Actually, this is good. When the mod came out, that did really well, but that was because it's Orange Piccolo.
It's Orange Piccolo. I will say, I don't know that Piccolo is necessarily the definition of a deep cut. By the way, he's fairly popular, but I was just bringing him up because he was just kind of fresh in my mind because of this episode we're about to talk about. But I do want to bring up
I was going to comment on that. Like, Piccolo thumbnails do bad. I was like, yikes. Well, this video is kind
of. Yeah. So I don't know if it's because they just did really well with Fighters and Legends with original characters, but your pointing out of 21 doing well for you on Fighters, Shallot does so well with Dragon Ball Legends. Like, Shallot thumbnails.
That's even more surprising, I think. Shallot doing well is kind of crazy.
Shallot does super well. So I think they were on the right path, I think, with Fighters of 21, because she's that high in A for you. And then also Shallot in Legends. But the last thing I will say is Rosé. I think Rosé, if I were ranking him on a gacha list, like with my data from Legends and Dokkan, he'd probably be an S for me. Rosé,
yeah, he's
Prince,
pretty good.
Rosé Prince, dude, it's insane. Like, you put Rosé on a thumbnail and it's actually relevant to what, you know what I mean? He's not just there.
Yeah.
It's going to do really well. Rosé does. Is the main character bad? People love that. Like, it just,
there is a lot of, like, Rosé is like probably the most like super oriented arc that's actually popular in the real world. Cause like talking to casual Dragon Ball fans is always like super interesting. And when I say talking, like, I was like going through security, I think, and I was wearing a Dragon Ball shirt and some guy commented on it and he was like, oh, I just started watching Super, Goku Black was so cool. And he's like an older dude. Like, this is a guy that must have watched Dragon Ball Z when he was like already a teenager. So he's like 40. He's like, yeah, Goku Black is pretty sick. And I was like, damn. I was like, damn, bro. Bro's doing numbers. He's just got fans out here.
It also probably helps too from a, I think we're about to transition over to talk about the actual episode. But let's be honest, that pink hair does stick out in terms of like
does,
a thumbnail click through rate kind of thing. The pink, plus like, I know people talk about Super in a sometimes in a negative way, just from like, we literally did start completing the rainbow in terms of like different colored hair. But I just think people really, really like seeing like the Saiyans and stuff and all the characters having like these different colored forms. It pops. Blue, by the way, blue, just in general, the blue form does really well. I personally like God. I don't know about you, but I personally like God more. Don't get me wrong. God does fine. Is there not a god form in Fighters?
No.
What?
There's not. But honestly, looking at my list, I kind of have Super Saiyan Blue, Vegeta, and Goku are both in A. Maybe I didn't organize A as much as I wanted to. I'd say they're pretty close, but maybe I would even put Goku over him because you're right. Color is a big thing. And Kaioken Blue Goku, I've always noticed, is like, it has the red with the blue.
The Kaioken I've always really liked that. Super good, though.
People like that. And honestly, I like that. That's one of my favorite forms for Goku.
That brings us right back to the Dragon Ball Z rewatch, because we are very close to seeing Kaioken. And Dotto's been talking up Kaioken, how much he loves when Goku finally uses that. And yeah, dude,
I do.
It's cool. The layering. Oh, dude, the layering of Kaioken with Super Saiyan is so damn cool, man.
Oh, I thought you were like pretending it happened in this episode. I was like, he didn't use Kaioken.
Oh, no. This is actually episode number 27 of Dragon Ball Z.
My camera's about to go bright. My eyes.
Episode 21 of the Vegeta Saga. This, of course, as we already mentioned earlier in the podcast, is called Nimbus Speed. And it looks like the literal name back on the Japanese side was Leave It to Gohan's Great Burst of Anger. What?
Wow, they didn't really spoil it that time. I mean, they kind of did, but it wasn't.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't.
So when does Gohan fire Masenko? Because it doesn't look like it's going to be here. Spoilers, by the way, but he doesn't fire Masenko here. Is that like Garlic Jr.?
Is it maybe next episode?
No shot.
There's got to be one, dude. I'm telling you, there's got to be one. Bro, maybe it's. I don't know, dude. I feel like
we're just out of luck.
Man, are you telling, dude? No, it's got to be here because I'm picturing Gohan.
Give it up, dude. We got to get you into an insane asylum.
I'm picturing Gohan in this exact. Hang on. Well,
yeah, sure they did, old timer. Let's get you back to bed.
Okay, let me ask a very crucial question that also might expose me as a Dragon Ball fan, Dotto. Is he in this fit when they go to Namek? He's not, is he? Is he? Is he in this exact fit? Because they don't get the armor until a little ways into being at Namek, right?
I don't know. I think, yes, he is, actually. I think he's wearing the purple with the like puffy white. But is that what he's wearing now? He's like a puffy white collar. Maybe?
Yeah, he's a puffy white collar in this, doesn't he? Or we've been watching so much. Yeah, he has the puffy white collar, bro. What?
Okay. You got me. Keep me honest.
Dude, hang on, though. Because if he is, then is that on Namek? Dude, no. He does one on Earth. I know he does. There's no way this is a movie I'm thinking of.
Sure they do, old timer. Let's get you back to the retirement home.
As I mentioned in the reactions, or maybe in the last podcast, I do be watching a lot of these. I do be watching a lot of the movies more so than the series. So it's like, maybe we're both picturing a movie right now. Turles, maybe? Does he do it? Is he going against Turles?
I have no idea. All I know is that it's really burned into my head, and he's not doing it. He's just holding out on that.
Dotto, it's gonna be in the next couple episodes. I just know it.
I'm waiting for it because the English dub line is burning my Masenko. Come on, man, just one. That's all I'm asking. But anyway, this episode actually starts where we left off. Our three main heroes are waiting for Goku. Time's up, and they're basically gonna initiate a plan that they probably should have tried from the beginning, although, admittedly, it doesn't go so well. So the plan, Krillin goes in, distracts Nappa. That's amazing. That's the hardest part of the team. Piccolo will grab the tail,
amazing.
And then Gohan will deliver the final blow. I don't know. Again, we talked about this. Why Gohan is the final? We don't know. All right. But Gohan is a little more tapped in than before. So let's break this down bar for bar because I have to. You understand?
I totally get it, bro.
Krillin charges in.
As I say, this is about to be a 20-30 minute glazing session. Let's go.
Krillin locks eyes with Nappa, the fiercest foe any fighter's ever seen on this planet thus far. Locks eyes with him, charges in, great stance. Goes up, gets real close, hits a 2S from fighters, bro. Launches into the air, perfect distraction.
Do any of you guys know what he's talking about? Fighters fans?
A perfect distraction, bro. He bounces a ki blast off the ground, beams up, he's out of there. That's when Piccolo sneaks in, grabs the tail, gets a firm squeeze on it. I saw his hands, too. He did a little twist. And then Gohan was about to charge in, and that's when Vegeta and Nappa reveal that they've been tugging on each other's tails for like 6 months. They're not weak to that anymore, basically.
Maybe if he would have got closer to the base, you know? He was at the tip.
Yeah, that's probably not as sensitive up there.
Yeah, plus it was like wrapped around, and I feel like I feel like it's probably add some like desensitization as if it's like wrapped around and you just get grabbing the tip.
It's like pulling hair, you know, when you get your hair pulled, it kind of hurts. But if you like hold down your head, you know, it doesn't really hurt that much because there's nowhere for it to pull really. So what Piccolo should have done is grabbed it and then run a quick lap around Nappa and like really yanked that.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, Nappa just kind of pushes in Piccolo's soft spot and he's knocked out.
Bro, yeah, you pointed this out, but like this definitely, I mean, well, Nappa could do basically flick someone, a normal human being, and kill them. But in the real world, if you hit someone the way Nappa just hit Piccolo, it probably would, it'd kill you or cause some sort of damage for sure.
Obviously, that's crazy. not even a plot hole. Nappa admits that he was holding back because he didn't want to kill him.
Yeah, because they still need him. They still need him for the Dragon Balls or so they think.
But this was a very compromising position. Like Piccolo let his guard down for real. I think he was going a little too heavy on this strat, but Piccolo gets knocked out and it's over, bro. It's Gohan, Krillin versus Nappa. It's 2v1 at this point. So what happens then, Nano? I'll let you glaze for a second.
Well, is this specifically when Gohan kicks the shit out of Nappa?
No, you're misremembering, bro. You're trying to take it away from him, bro.
Okay, so this is the full-on Krillin moment.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, dude. So we just talked about this on last week's episode of the podcast, which hopefully you watched. But we've been waiting for Destructo Disc.
Mm-hmm.
We've been waiting. Because it's one of the coolest moves in the entire series. Now that I've never been like the massive Krillin fan like you are, but like definitely I can put respect on Destructo Disc because that is just such a damn cool move.
And honestly, what I forgot, Nano, before he even set up that Destructo Disc is Nappa was charging in on Gohan. Why Krillin pieced him up?
Yes.
He landed a quick blow on Nappa, mixed him up, and then landed another blow on him and then jumped away to set up the Destructo Disc.
Now does Vegeta say something about that, or is that you putting words in Vegeta's mouth while we were reacting?
What, the Destructo Disc?
But no, not the Destructo Disc, but doesn't Vegeta actually say something to Nappa for letting him get his ass beat by Krillin like that?
No, that comes a bit later. But Vegeta is roasting Nappa a little bit here.
Yeah, because this is the sequence where Krillin gets like a good few hits, right? Like it's not just one singular hit, is it?
It's a lot. Oh wait, I think Vegeta does laugh and say he's embarrassing you.
Yes. Okay. I thought so. I was like, I don't think I'm because we were reacting to this and we're obviously both like adding our banter. So I was like, I couldn't remember if this was just Dotto banter or if this was Dotto and Vegeta banter.
I think Vegeta was getting a few lines in. He was kind of roasting Nappa a lot this episode.
Well, dude, because Krillin was kind of him in this episode.
Like, honestly, yeah, I hate when they play up this Krillin bitch shit, bro, because in this episode, he was about it, bro. Like, he wasn't even scared. He was alone, the last fighter. And honestly, they should have made him drop like a line, bro, because he pieced up Nappa, went for the Destructo Disc, and he's like, well, I guess if there was ever going to be a time to use this, like he's making quips. Bro really acted like, and this is the same Krillin that one episode ago, he was like, oh my gosh, I guess I should just leave. We're going to lose. Bro, come on. That's not Krillin. That's the writing team talking right there, bro. That's not him. But yeah, the Destructo Disc, I hated Vegeta for this as a kid. I'm not going to lie.
See, but I forgot, but this very clearly was definitely like seared in your mind because before it even happened, you called out Vegeta. You're like, I hate Vegeta for this.
Bro, it is seared in my mind because he has the Destructo Disc charged up and he baits this stupid guy where he's like, how about you just catch it, huh? You just want to catch it? And Nappa's like, yeah, I'll catch it. I'll embarrass this guy. Damn, he had him hook, line, and sucker, bro. He was done for. And then Vegeta's like, okay, dodge that one, Nappa, you're dead. Barely manages to dodge it. Man. Honestly, looking back at the whole series, Nano, what would we have lost if Krillin was the one to take out Nappa?
Nothing. And just finally giving Krillin like a true proper W in Z.
They could have let Vegeta like shoot a beam and like, you know, Piccolo could have made the decision later. But bro, we need the Destructo Disc to work one time. Like to cut an enemy in half and that's just it.
That would have been sick.
It would have been. Like, Nappa tries to tank it, and then maybe Vegeta's like, Nappa, no, but it's already too late, and then, like, he looks fall over.
Yeah, he looks over at him, and as he's looking at him, his legs standing up, but his body, like, falls over.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, dude. I need to pay somebody to just fan animate that for me.
That actually sounds sick as hell. Hang on.
That could have been how... They could have even showed it, like, maybe Nappa in front of the mountain that splits. The mountain can split. And then Nappa could look at Vegeta and then hit. Oh my god,
dude! Wait, and then you could voice act the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I probably could. Yeah, yeah. Just be like, "Hey, take this."
What, Vegeta?
Yeah, I got the chance. but anyway, Vegeta calls out. Nappa dodges it. Childhood ruined. Whatever.
Damn, man.
And then this is where he really gets roasted, though, Nano, because Piccolo kind of... Nappa's pissed, looks at Krillin. Honestly, this is just Nappa getting embarrassed the episode. Nappa's pissed at Krillin, looks over at Krillin. Piccolo shoots him in his back. Nappa complains, and he's like, sorry, I thought that was your face. And Vegeta just cracks up, bro. Like, he was loving this.
Dude, you pointed this out, but imagine if he had just done a proper attack here, by the way.
Yeah, that was kind of a sales job by Piccolo. I'm not sure why he went with a standard beam. Maybe he was running out of time, though.
I mean, yeah, it could be that. He may have just, like, woke up and was like, oh, he's right there. And maybe he really didn't think it was his face. But what I will say, I do like all the banter that Vegeta is doing.
Yeah, I do like Vegeta's role here of just side referee.
Yes, yeah. He keeps calling Nappa a bitch basically at every turning point, which I think is hilarious. But anyways, is this when the Gohan kicks come into play? Or
yeah, because after he gets embarrassed by Piccolo, Nappa looks at him, and then Gohan says, I got his bitch ass, basically. And then Nappa runs over to Gohan and gets his bitch ass fucking kicked into a mountain. Dude. So it was a bad episode for Nappa, honestly.
That was, I actually thought that was really sick. I don't know. But then that's when Piccolo is over there. He's charging up or something like that. And we have like one of the cool cut-ins, which I really actually liked. It was really fast, by the way. I think they could have left Goku's face on screen for like just a smidge longer, if I'm not mistaken.
It was perfect. It was perfect. I liked it. It was like lightning, bro.
It was so fast. But anyways, the screen kind of sort of goes black and you can just see Piccolo's face. And then it shows you a quick little of Goku. And then that's when Piccolo's like, who is that? And he's like, I think that's Goku. And then Vegeta picks up the scouter and starts like letting it zone in. Now, I want to say, and I'm really hoping there's a correction here, because there's always a correction on numbers, but they went on this one in particular, they went with a nice solid 5,000. We do learn via Vegeta's scouter that Goku is at a smooth 5,000 right now, riding back on Nimbus. So
yeah, I think that's pretty good.
And also, it's also so interesting that we're at an era in the show where like genuinely 100 or a couple hundred makes that much of a difference. Which is kind of cool. You know how like, I don't know, you've played WoW, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever played, or did you play pre and post the number squish?
No, I did not, but I know where you're getting at.
Yeah, I think it, you know, I don't know what this would look like in terms of like not a game, but I think it'd be kind of cool, because I don't know about you, but I actually love the power levels aspect. Like I always thought that the power level stuff was actually pretty cool, but we're to a point now where, I mean, we'd be talking like 35.8 million. Oh, really? That's all? I'm at 128.9 million. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like we almost need a number squish. So like, I think it's kind of,
you want him to patch it.
Yeah. It is cool though, that at this point, where you can say 5,000, and we're so far now past that where that isn't impressive to like current day numbers, but back then that's so cool. And that seriously, a couple hundred or even 1,000 back then would be like the major difference between winning and losing a fight. So I don't know. I thought that was a nice one. I thought we were going to get the line, you know, the 9,000 line or the 8,000. I don't even know what's going to be on here, because it's 8,000 and 9,000 depending on which one you're watching, right?
Yeah, we're not. I don't think we're quite there yet. I think we're still going to get a moment like that. Well, one of those moments. There will be one. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna get the 9,000, I hope. But yeah, we're witnessing, this is the peak of power level content. There's one more moment in the series way later on down the line that is mm-hmm. the final power level moment. But
you're talking about 5:30?
Yeah, 5:30. Okay. We're pretty much at the penultimate moment though. Like we're getting there. Like this is when power levels were at their best. And I agree. Back then, power levels were such a cool tool. Because Vegeta picking it up and going, oh, Nappa, they're for real. This is bad. Like that, it hits, bro. Vegeta losing his composure. Like, okay, we need to kill all these guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, we cannot. 5,000 is a little too serious. Like, okay, we're done. We're done waiting around. This ain't a joke no more. And then that's when, honestly, stuff starts getting real serious. We also forgot to mention that Nappa does throw a bomb at Krillin. Krillin is able to like half dodge and block, though. He's kind of out of commission.
But... Yeah. Well, yeah. We did forget to mention that part. He throws one at him and then he throws another, right? Because I think one's more to distract and make him have to dodge it. And then he takes the other hand and throws yet another one at him, which does do him in. And then I remember commenting like, yo, is Gohan going to come in and like catch Krillin? And of course, nothing. Because minus the kick. Try. Gohan kind of feeling like maybe just a little useless. Like, you know, it's kind
of
like
he's out of it. You know, he got his one kick in.
Yeah.
I wish the Z Fighters would have just jumped Nappas, bro. I feel like we could have got a much better performance out of the team if we were just all firing on every cylinder. But maybe it's just not our year. You know, not our year. We'll get him in the next one. But yeah, Nappa gets embarrassed. What? And
Dotto, maybe we'll get him in Daima, man.
Yeah, maybe we're going to get like a power level thing in Daima. You know, that could be the only place where it would make sense to bring it back.
Bro, what is your ass doing when Nappa as a child shows up?
I mean, they rezzed him and then made him a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I'm popping off, bro. I might as well. I might as well.
Would that actually be a pretty, like, would that get a pretty hype reaction out of you if Nappa was to come back in the middle of Daima?
I don't know. Raditz? I don't know if I'd be high. I think I'd be confused. I'd be confused to both of them. I'd be confused.
Would you, hang on, if they were going to bring Raditz back and they did it for Daima and not for Super, would that be, would that I would,
I would, that would piss me off. Yeah. If they brought Raditz back as a baby and then killed him again, I'd, that'd be worse than just leaving him a memory. That would suck.
So back to the episode. So they do go ahead this whole time. They've been sort of holding or pulling punches essentially because they do know that they need Piccolo, or they're under the assumption they need Piccolo to use him to find the Dragon Balls essentially. Of course, I don't think they do know the connection between the Namekians and the Dragon Balls. I don't think they've, like, are you under that understanding? They don't, I don't think they fully understand that. Or did they, based on the fact that they were talking about they could go to Namek and get another set of Dragon Balls?
They think that that's what, they think any Namekian can make they're on like peak racism arc right now.
I was under the understanding though that they mostly just needed they thought they needed Piccolo to find them. Not so much that Piccolo is attached to the simple fact that they are going to quite literally disappear if you kill Piccolo. But anyways, they were pulling punches the whole time. They go ahead. They decide, because of the threat of Goku, screw this. Not worth it. We'll just go find other Namekians, like you just said. And the other Namekians will be able to make us another set of Dragon Balls. No big deal. So now they're on mission, kill everyone again. And I guess that starts with Gohan.
Yeah, they target Gohan first.
Yeah.
Because Krillin's out of commission. I don't know why they pick on the child, but Nappa's especially pissed at him, so...
This is when the kick happens, actually, because now this is when the Gohan kick actually happens, which of course then pisses Nappa off.
Yep. And that basically gets Gohan one big death beam ordered right to his door.
And
well, I mean, somebody's got to step in, Nano, and we get a flashback here.
This was a good flashback, by the way.
I liked it.
We laughed at the Chiaotzu one. Well, you laughed, and I kind of chuckled at the fact that you were laughing. No one was laughing at this one. This was actually a really good callback and a really good flashback sequence. And this is what we call character development, too, as well, with Piccolo, which is fantastic. You love to see it. So this is the iconic scene of Piccolo risking, not risking, sorry, literally dying for Gohan. So this is... this is like peak Saiyan Saga moment right here. I did not think this was in Nimbus speeding, bro. I just, who is choosing these names? Why are we doing this?
I don't really understand the name, but I honestly agree. The flashback hit, Piccolo running over hit, and it was animated really good too, but I remember that part pretty well. So
yeah, I think this is
end of Piccolo.
This is one of those moments that I feel like is seared in everyone's brain. Like, I just didn't think, I remember last episode and even at the beginning of the reactions, I was like, what could be in this next episode? Because to me, I didn't think it was happening here. I thought it was happening in the next episode. I thought it happened right before Goku got there. Cause the next episode is titled Goku's Arrival. So I thought it was going to happen right before that. I did not think, again, sorry to just be a broken record, but it was happening in Nimbus speed. So, but that is the end of the episode. Like, quite an actual, like, cliffhanger way to end an episode is Piccolo in the middle of getting beamed by Nappa. The narrator steps in and calls it the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, he doesn't even, the narrator doesn't even bring up Nimbus, not to get on that title one more time, but weird choice on that one. Nano, we've made it to the part where we're going to go into some differences from the manga.
Let's hear it.
Well, honestly, I hate to, you know, I said I was only going to bring up this stuff once per day, but just because it's the only one we have, Nano.
Oh.
A gun-toting Chi-Chi at Kame House, ready to head to the battlefield to save Gohan as the others urge her to stay, is exclusive to the anime.
Oh.
It was just the TV again. So other than that, this is all canon all the time.
I mean, this felt like a very canonical episode of Dragon Ball Z. I can't imagine that there's too many things here that happened that wouldn't be canon of the episode. This episode was incredible. This was another one where when we got to the midway point, or we were way past the midway point, where you mentioned like, wait, are we at the midway point yet? And I was like, yeah, that already happened. I mean, this episode was just like nonstop, good after good after good. And especially if you're a Krillin fan, like somebody we know, this was pure, raw, just good fun.
He was going crazy.
Unfortunate though, with how he went out. But regardless, if there's, hang on, is there trivia?
There actually is not.
No trivia?
Nope, no trivia this time.
Damn, bro, I was waiting on the correction. I was waiting on them to get on their asses for the 5K. We need to pull up the manga chapter, and we need to see what they are saying about it, and see if it, in the manga it says 5,000, and see if it's canon or not. But
hey, I could pull that. No, I actually don't think I have that. No, I could probably pull that up.
Could you?
Not in this episode. Yeah, but I would have to go downstairs, get my manga.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, Donald. Well, that means it's time to rate episode 27, Nimbus Speed of Dragon Ball Z. Now, last time, which thankfully, you know, you weren't the one to hold up any hands because we didn't have your video feed. But all right, you're holding up this time. Let me know when you're ready, because I definitely already have in mind what I'm going to go ahead and give this particular episode of Dragon Ball Z. I kind of wonder what you're going to do.
I was going to go crazy. Why my fingers look like that? Hold on. I gotta figure out which hand is which hand. All right, there we go.
All right. Am I good to go ahead? And
yeah, you're good.
All right, bro. I'm about to glaze a little bit here. All right.
All right. I kind of agree. I was almost going to glaze crazy.
Dotto, then we're given the same thing probably, because I'm going with a nice solid 9, Dotto Doya. I'm giving Nimbus Speed a 9, a Nanogenics 9 right here. What are you doing, Mr. Dotto Doya?
Yeah, I also held up a 9.
I knew it, bro. The second that you were
I really
10,
was on some 10 stuff, though. I was thinking about
like
it for a solid second.
10, man. I like, he just...
Really? This one felt like my other 10?
Dude, it was Krillin's Destructo disc, which was sick as hell, bro. Why would you not... If you're going to give a 10 out, this was like the Dotto Doya 10.
It was a pretty good episode, honestly. It was getting pretty close to a 10, I'm not going to lie. If there wasn't the gun-toting Chi-Chi stuff, it probably would have been a 10. I don't know what they would have put in there other than that, though.
As a special, and I know this sounds crazy, but maybe as like a bonus footage, if you and I are ever IRL, you know what we're doing?
What's that?
We're rewatching episode 10, A New Friend, and we're seeing if the 10 holds up.
Bro, it's not gonna hold up. It is gonna be a fucking 6, dude. If we watched it right now, it would be a 5. No shot.
Oh man, because
but what if it actually is really funny? Like, what if we just forgot how funny it was?
No, I actually do think that we might, because I remember when we were back in that mindset. Not to mention, yeah, it was like the grass was finally green for once, but also. We loved how compartmentalized those two episodes were, the Strangest Friend and the New Friend, or Strangest Robot and a New Friend, because they felt like little mini movies. They were actually pretty good. It wasn't just a bunch of nothingness to progress the 20 minutes of episodes, which has been really interesting doing this rewatch, how much padding, I guess, that we've noticed that they do to try to fill out the full 20 whatever minutes they've got to get to with the scenic shots and the retreading of same shots, and like how many times we've seen Goku flying across like Snake Way. It's been those are things I didn't notice before that I'm noticing now through a rewatch. So the rewatch where we're analyzing so heavily like we are. But Dotto, any final things you want to say about Nimbus Speed and today's podcast episode?
No.
Guys, we appreciate you all for supporting us. I hope you guys left a like on this. Subscribe if you're new here on YouTube. And if you're listening to us on podcast services, leave us a rating. It helps a ton. We absolutely appreciate you guys. And of course, you guys are Dotto's favorite. Dotto do be loving those audio listeners.
I do. And I even loved you so much, I forgot the video portion last week.
And for everyone that goes that extra mile to support us and be a key member over on Patreon or on YouTube on the actual channel where you can click join, we appreciate you guys as well. And hopefully you guys are enjoying all that bonus content that we are putting out. So with that said, appreciate you guys. That's been Key Moments episode. What was this one? 24? We're getting deep.
It was one of them. We're getting pretty close to the end of the Saiyan saga.
Man, I hear that music though, Dotto. I hear it.
I do too.
It's beautiful. It's over for us. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
It's closing in the darkness.